Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome to the morning meeting, another paternity episode. I'm not here. I'm on paternity leave. We're recording this in the warehouse, and Kyle's here. Yay! We're in the owner's suite in the warehouse with lights. Maddie thought we were going to have to do it in the dark.
Dark could have been pretty funny.
What's your title?
I am the social media, head of social media.
No, I think we changed that.
To what?
I don't know. I think all the head ofs aren't head of anymore. Like, you're probably director or something like that now. I don't know.
Might have to update the LinkedIn that I haven't gone on in a long time.
You're not running our company LinkedIn?
No.
Add it to the list.
No.
Do companies have LinkedIn's?
That'd be...
John Boy Media does.
Yeah, who runs the John Boy Media LinkedIn?
It's like Courtney, because it's very like salesy.
Yeah.
And Bill, because it's like eventsy. Like, it's not like... I mean, there is an aspect of it that's like get clicks and likes and comments and stuff like that, but it's super
It's a different end game than what you're getting.
Yeah, it's like not the fun. It's not like everybody come here because we're having fun on this page. And like, that's what I do everywhere else.
I asked Kyle to prep two things.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know. I didn't want to have you just counting here, even if you might do.
I've been doing it for like an hour and a half now. Yeah.
One was how many different accounts do you publish post on a day?
So it depends.
So, but like talking baseball, YouTube community, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook,
TikTok.
That's four.
TikTok.
Don't just lump that as one. I want to give an impressive big number.
Okay. So
here.
I always say that we have five different platforms.
What are those?
And it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. So every channel has one of those. Some of them are different. Like Wake and Jake stuff, we just posted talking baseball TikTok, for example.
Yeah.
So those five platforms combined, there must be 60 accounts that were posted on regularly, maybe more.
Yeah, you also have out of context.
Yeah, there's like out of context and Twitter and GIFs.
Breakdown, shorts.
Yeah. So honestly, it's anywhere between 60 and 80, if I had to guess. And I've been thinking about this all morning. I really have. But I would actually have to go through and like count if I wanted to get the real number. But it's a lot.
And then how many things do you think you post a day? Like,
now, does that Talkin' Baseball post about like Gio Urshela's injury?
Five times?
Yeah, because that's a lot. Like if Gio Urshela's injured and then you or whoever on the team want to post that, it's not like there's a site where you hit it and they disperse it to all the different channels like Instagram and Twitter. There used to be stuff that did that, and there might still be, but it's not going to win you any prizes if you do it in that way.
Exactly.
So all right, say Gio Urshela is out for the season.
That one's just Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And you wouldn't do this for Gio Urshela out for the season, but like if it's a big enough one, the hope is that you guys talked about it on a show, and that way we could also get that news on our TikTok and YouTube.
But it's different, like it's a different post on Instagram and Twitter, basically. Or is it the same exact thing?
So for Twitter, if Gio Urshela was just freshly headed to the IL, we have a graphic for that. But since Gio Urshela was like already on the IL and then the news came out while he was on the IL that he's out for the season, we don't have a graphic prepared for that exact thing. So it looks different on Twitter. With Twitter, it's just a picture of him with a caption. On Instagram, it's the reporter's tweet that says what happened over top of a picture of Gio Urshela. And then that gets posted to Instagram and automatically goes to our Facebook as well, which our Facebooks are crazy. We always forget that.
Yeah, what did Cole do?
Cole video is nearing 800,000 views on Facebook. So that's pretty cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it got broken to AdSense a little bit too, which is going to help us reach the goal there.
Nice.
All right, and then now go way back and tell people how you started and then what got you from, because you started $15 an hour intern?
Yeah.
just yeah. like Maddie did, right?
Yeah. Well, that you got to let me give the number on the posts per day.
Oh, yeah. What do you think it is?
No, I don't know, actually. It's the other day I counted. It was Monday, and not even every MLB team played, and we posted 41 Instagram posts on Talking Baseball alone. So that's between, like, clips of you guys, yeah. highlights, whatever game Jolly played that day.
Not one account, across all accounts?
This is 41 Talking Baseball Instagram posts.
Oh, so just one account.
Yeah. So that's just Talking Baseball Instagram posts. Anything that's either our content or a graphic or photo also went to Facebook. And then you could pretty much triple that number for Twitter. And this is just Talking Baseball. So in a day across accounts, it's probably anywhere from like 300 to 500 posts that like...
A day.
I click send on, to be honest.
And then there's other people on the team that
yeah.
do their...
Honestly, as a social team, actually as a social team, it's probably like 400 to 600. I probably press send on like 200 things a day.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts to think about. I don't really ever think about these the statistics. I just kind of do it. And I know that it's crazy, but I never really think about the number.
How often do you check? Like you post 200 a day. How often do you check in on things? Like
pretty often.
If a tweet's going off, it's just going to find you. Or are you checking in to see like, how did these all perform?
Yeah. So it depends. If it's our original content, I almost always go back and check, make sure we didn't mess something up or make sure people aren't giving us actual good constructive criticism on something. But if it's like a Salvador Perez home run in the seventh inning of a Royals Reds game, I'm just kind of like,
yeah,
going to let that one fly. Cause I don't really care what people have to say about Salvador Perez's home run versus the Reds. But then again, if it's like Salvador Perez made an error to lose to the Reds, we have to be careful with that kind of stuff. Cause now we're like slandering the players.
Yes, you have to be. Yeah,
so I go back to check to make sure that people were okay with like the way we worded it. And obviously, on every single post we have, someone's always going to be mad about how we did it.
Yeah. People are mad at me right now. I'm seeing about the Cole thing, saying I was super biased, but I don't even think I really presented an opinion.
I don't think so either.
That's sometimes where when you don't present an opinion, which is how we run a lot of the socials, is like just say what happened.
Yeah.
Then people infer the opinion they want to agree with sometimes, or they infer the opinion they want to disagree with most times.
Yeah.
So like any Mariner fan is inferring that I was like, cause I don't care that that dude Caballero.
Yeah.
I like that he was doing that. I've publicly liked that Bernie Williams used to do that, that Puig used to do that. Votto's fucked with pitchers' timings before. Like, I wasn't anti him at all.
It's just with the new rules, all that stuff yeah. is under a microscope.
Yeah. Well, I was voicing it from Cole's voice. So, like, when I'm doing that narration of, like, gonna waste my fucking time, like, that's not, like, my thoughts. I'm doing what Cole, I mean, like.
You were literally laughing at him.
Yeah, no, but people will just infer it. Sometimes they say, like, the best actors make, like, no face.
Yeah.
And then the audience infers, oh, my God, it's so slight, but you can see they're troubled. And, like, they tell actors just be blank. That's kind of how we run our socials. So, like,
yeah,
we allow the audience to infer, like, which sucks sometimes.
Just yeah.
Like, well, you didn't say that.
Yeah. And the larger our platforms get, the more toxic the replies get and stuff like that because it's people who don't really know us. They're just there because it's, like, a huge page and all that kind of stuff.
Who's running around down there? Oh, that's Noah and Sophia.
The McFly kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I saw Sophia's hair, and I was like, who is
yeah
running around? All right, so then you started in 2019, 2020?
Yeah, so I more or less started... I started talking to you guys about getting the job in January of 2020. I accepted the job in February of 2020.
And COVID.
COVID, plus I was at like another job that was a real full-time job. And it's the type of job where if you just say you're leaving, it's really sucks for all the other people you worked with.
Oh, yeah. So you did 2 weeks or what?
I did like a month.
Oh, okay.
And I was doing the TPP clips while keeping the statistics for softball games at my old job. Yeah. So I was a sports information director before I started at John Boy Media. And my last stop, I made a few stops in that field, was at Westchester University near Philadelphia, sort of. And I started this job during what in that field you call the overlap from winter sports to spring sports.
Yeah.
So if I just gave them my 2 weeks and dipped,
they would have been
That would have been messed up. Yeah.
Would have been out of luck. So then you started when? March? Like, did you start right before?
So I literally started like the Monday after. The way I remember COVID as like a big sports fan is that
the NBA
there was that NBA game.
Yeah. Then that was a Tom Hanks night.
Yes.
As well.
So I started the Monday after that. And we were in the office for 1 week. And I remember talking to you, BBD, and Jake, like, so what do you guys think? We'll be back here in like 2 weeks. And I didn't know. I'm pretty naive when it comes to that stuff. I think we were all naive when it came to COVID stuff. So I was just being way too optimistic. And BBD kind of gave me this look like, nah, man, we'll see you in like a few months probably. And that's exactly what happened.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Yeah, that sucks. We're supposed to have a big party. So then what did you do? Because Jake came over every 2 weeks, and we filmed 12 videos, and then we did like our podcast. So you were clipping the podcasts from home during those months?
Every single podcast and show that you guys were doing, which was kind of a lot. And I was helping Bill distribute old breakdowns.
That was crucial though. Yeah. That like really, really helped.
That really helped build up our Instagram, because the Instagram actually came along well into your breakdown.
Man, you've done that a lot then, because so you've redistributed that was all the breakdowns had to be 3 minutes long to earn money on Facebook, but they were all 2 minutes and 20 seconds long, because that's how that was the max length for Twitter.
Yep.
So you and Bill took all of them, like 1,000 from 18, 19, and then the 20. And
it's like this day in breakdown history. We just rolled them all out.
With an ending that was me saying, that's the end of the video, but it has to get the 3 minutes.
Thanks
for watching.
That was for Facebook, because it had to be 3 minutes.
Yeah, but then
to
that tapped
it
into Facebook money, which helped the whole company. Like, we because of that. And two deals, Roosevelt's, which Jake and I negotiated, and DraftKings, which we had someone. We, like, crushed during COVID.
Yeah.
It was pretty wild. We were scared, and we were up until June, it was getting scary. We were starting to look at, like, the P&L and being like, fuck. Like, we just hired 5 people or 7 people, and now there's no money coming in. So Jake and I did those watching baseballs on YouTube.
Yep.
And we did all this other stuff.
Yeah. So I was helping promote that. And then that's when anytime I had free time, kind of just like now, I was just digging for anything. I was making, like, 60-second highlight videos for, like, all the best MLB players, and those were really helping grow things. That was Trevor's suggestion, because he said the players love that stuff.
Oh, yeah, hype reels, yeah.
I was pulling, like, any stupid statistics about Trevor.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, like, the whole Talking Baseball page. It was, like, a Trevor Plouffe fan page.
But it was you, and who else was in that crew?
Keith.
But Keith was there before you. You, like, Aunt Lauren.
Yeah. Aunt Lauren.
Rob.
Yeah.
Not Scirocco. You're the only one that is still here from that group of five, right?
I think so.
BBD. He was technically part of
that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
BBD and Zach were there. They were
doing different stuff.
They didn't get interviewed.
Right.
Like, you were probably a lock, but they just got job offers, and then we were hiring 5 people.
You told me that
Zach didn't count, I think, towards the 5, because he was like, had a very specific role, like videographer. Yeah. And then it was Lauren and Ant and you, or it was Ant in the next round. Ant was maybe the next round.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That was surreal for me.
Didn't have like any task. You didn't get hired to run socials. It was just, everyone was just help.
Yeah.
Find your lane and help. And then you kind of like, we always say like hungry, hungry hippos. Like, you ate all the balls. Like,
yeah.
You outran everyone else. to the point where some people were shrugging and like, well, Kyle already did that. Well, Kyle already did that. That's what me and Jay kept hearing. We're like, well, shit. And we're like, God, leave some for them to do.
Yeah.
But then it was also like, well, I mean, fucking.
At one point,
keep up with Kyle.
At one point, I was asking Keith like if there's anything he needed me to do, and he was like, "Jimmy and Jake told me not to give you any more tasks." I was like, "All right, well, I guess I'll just go make this Bo Bichette highlight video then, or like whatever it may have been at the time." I just like loved it. I wanted to do it just for fun. I still do, and that's why it was like such an easy thing for me to come in and do, is because I was like a diehard fan of you guys.
Yeah.
Die hard. Like every single episode of everything you could think of. And that's why when I came for the job interview, to me, it was like a meet and greet with like my adulthood idols. I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. Yeah, that was nuts. Like I remember walking in the office for the first time and like seeing you stand there and I'm like, Jesus, this is like a job interview. And
you were dressed up.
Yeah, I wore a tie.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
The Bronx office is so funny. It wasn't as crazy when you're in it. And you're like, yeah, this is whatever. This is cool.
Yeah.
We're growing. We're small.
Looking
and
back.
Now look back and you're like, dude, that place was gross.
That was nuts.
Imagine still having fun. That. It was fun.
And it was like homey and it was like ours.
Yeah. It did get crowded and
yeah.
Summertime was tough. It was hot. That studio Jake and I were in was small.
Yep.
Yeah. And then like halfway through, I think you got bumped from 15 to like, I was like, hey, this is what we can do now. But I,
yeah,
like I just kept whenever I could give,
but I was like,
was with all the first two sets of like your crew. And then Maddie's crew was next summer. And it was like, our philosophy was as soon as we, one of someone who comes and they take that $15 an hour job, as soon as we can identify like, this person has a role and we have a bit more money now. Like we tried to take care of, it wasn't like we're going to make you wait a year. So I think yeah. All-star break, it was like, hey, you're in, you're here.
It was like,
this is what we can give you now. And then I think later on, then we,
well, that year there was no all-star break obviously. Cause the MLB season was nuts. So it was weird. It was a 60 game season.
Yeah.
It was like, so I started and I was just hourly and you guys were like kind of, that's all we could do right now. That type of stuff, like we're still smaller than you might think we are and all that stuff. And obviously I'm coming from this job where I have a salary.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to all the advice people have to offer. Like some people are like, sure you want to do this. Other people are like, yeah, go for it. And I saw the vision in you guys, whereas all the people I'm getting advice from weren't nearly as big of fans of you guys as I was. Matter of fact, most of those people hardly knew who you were at the time. And I just went for it. And that's part of the reason I worked so hard, is because I was like, I cannot possibly let this fail. Because yeah. If I do, I just really messed up big time.
Yeah, that's what I did when I got the initial investment. And like just like a small, like
yeah.
Even before the investment, just like I had like an audience. It was like I had a vice grip on that. And I was like, I'm never, ever letting my hand like loosen at all.
Yeah. So when I was hourly, I worked as much as you guys would let me. Actually, I worked a lot more than I was supposed to, but I just clocked 40 hours because I knew that that's all we could do.
Yeah.
So please, Katie,
please stop working more than we can afford to pay.
Especially Katie, because she's such like a mother-like figure, and yeah, she just wanted to make sure I'm okay.
Yeah.
More than she wanted to make sure the company was okay. So I was just going on that sheet Katie had us fill out to clock hours, just putting 9 to 5, 9 to 5, 9 to 5, but I was really working like 7 to midnight probably. And eventually Katie was like, Kyle, just don't take the time to fill out that sheet anymore. We'll just assume you worked 9 to 5 every day.
Yeah.
And then that's when you guys came around and was like, hey, we could offer you a salary. And I was like, that was like dropped to my knees in a Walmart type moment. Like
in a Walmart.
Yeah. I was crazy. Like head over heels, like I think this kind of just worked.
Yeah.
After like months and months of worrying. So looking back, like the 6 months or so I had to kind of wait for that is not a lot. But in that moment, especially with COVID going on, you're worried about the world in general.
And yeah.
And then you got to be selfish in those moments. Like, what does this world situation mean for me?
Yeah. No, but we actually crushed COVID. We were set up. We had one of our investors when COVID happened. Like we were like, shit. He was like, you guys are set up fucking perfect. He was like, everyone has to go on the internet and make content now. You already make content on the internet, so you're ahead of them. He's like, everyone's got to lay off excess workers. You don't have any excess workers. You only have 7 vital staff members.
Yeah.
And he was like, everyone's desperate for content right now, and you guys make content.
Yep.
It was, and Jake and I were just like, what? Okay. So in the actual lockdown, Jake and I made so much shit.
Yep.
And then that 60 game season, if you remember how much we were doing, it was insane. Like we did a pregame show, a Talking Baseball pregame show 5 days a week.
Yep.
And then 4 Talking Baseballs a week. And then we did 4 Talking Yanks a week and 7 Talking Yanks pregame shows a week. And then we did 3 John Boy Jake radios a week. We did 2 watch-ins. Like, we did Laughs from the Past, a full episode and a short episode. Like, I look back and I'm like, how did I have that much fucking energy? How did we do that? It's crazy. But that's, by the way, really, really, like, we came out of that ahead.
Yeah, I saw that too happening probably like 2 months into working with you guys and 2 months into COVID, because I saw all of our videos getting so many more views than everybody else. And I saw all the social accounts that I was posting away on just gaining so many followers with 0 sports going on.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if this is happening with no sports, imagine when the season finally starts. And then when the season did start, everybody was just so excited to just have something.
Yeah.
Like looking back on the 60 game season, Jolly just did a Stats That Exist that went out yesterday.
I didn't watch it yet.
About like players who peaked in the COVID season, Luke Voit and stuff like that. Yeah, that stuff was kind of silly looking back on the Dodgers World Series. I think even Dodgers fans are starting to come around. Like, that was very
well, when
odd.
You are in the season now, and when you get to game 60 in the season now, and you're like, what?
Yeah, the regular season ended like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But in that moment, everyone was just so excited to go from nothing to something that it was awesome. That was like the birth of Tatis. Like, it was awesome because that was the birth of the Padres team that we now know.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So
we did really well after those 60 games. And
that 60 game season, we were all locked in.
And people wanted us to raise off of that, get another investment. And we said no. We said, because if you give us 160 games, our valuation is going to be higher. So we'll stand pat. I think we got a cup. We got like a small round came in, and we added. Like the headline that year was we raised $1 million, but that was a combination of a lot of that came the year before that we never publicly announced.
Yeah.
And then there was a little bit that came after. And with that little bit and the profit, because we're super profitable in 2020, we got Rose, Moylan, Wingert. Mm-hmm. And we said, no, give us 162 games and let us fucking dominate baseball. We're not going to go outside baseball that much. And then we'll raise.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we did. And then the valuation after 2021 went even higher. It's
crazy. This sort of relates to that. And it's that I say this is our first like real MLB season since I started. And it's because 2020 was nuts. 2020 was still a lot of questions about COVID and stuff.
2021. Yeah. Delayed start. No spring training.
No spring training, no fans for some of
it. Still had teams missing starts and
there was still
2-game double, 7-inning double headers and no fans for the first 40 games or so.
Yeah, and that's when people started to be like, all right, like,
yeah,
we're not excited about this anymore. We're just annoyed. And then in 2022, there was the lockout.
Yeah.
So that threw that season for a loop. So I think this is the first year, especially with World Baseball Classic happening before the season,
that normal.
Baseball and is fully normal too. And hyped up. And we're starting to see some benefits of that for sure.
Yeah. And then the other thing that we're seeing benefits of is our own content. Something that you've had to, I always say like you're, because we're very similar in attack method, but you're always like a year behind me. Mm-hmm. In dealing with that lifestyle, but pivoting to content that like isn't our winner. I feel like this year or at the end of last year, you're more open to it. Like, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Our original IP. Cause when I started trying to hammer that down, everyone was kind of giving me this look like, Jimmy, like what? Like,
yeah.
Why are you putting so much energy into the warehouse or like, these other shows and just do this. And, now the warehouse 200,000 subscribers as of yesterday.
Yay. Yeah.
People are starting to understand it, but also just understand like we own it. No one can tell us what to do. No one can do anything. Like we people pay us if they want to work with us. But you kind of had a big, I think it was like the end of last year where you're like, fuck it, let's do it. Like, yeah. I'm going to post it.
Sales stuff and original content. Definitely because we own it. Nobody could come for us with copyright.
But does it hurt? Does it still hurt you to post stuff that doesn't get as much as like a breakdown or as much as a big moment like engagement?
It hurts in the sense that it's like, why isn't this doing really well? I think it's awesome. So it's just always going back to the drawing board. Whereas I wish we didn't have to keep going back to the drawing board, and I wish we could just keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's always going to happen.
Recalculating stuff.
Yeah.
Lately, you've got a real good gauge for what's going to be big or not. Like when the Lou and Zoe clip went out, you said this is going to be big.
Yep.
And that's the biggest original IP we've ever posted, I think.
In our company's like history.
Probably. And then when because we have a bunch of clips from Blitzel Battle 3 and you and Kev were doing it. And then when you and Kev are umpiring and you make different calls, you said this one's going to be big. And I think that was like an instant million views.
Yeah. People love controversy. I think people love even more controversy that they can have an opinion on, and it's also not that serious.
Yeah. And then wait, but the Boone sitting Indian style.
Oh yeah.
I heard that you told the office like this is gonna be big. That one cannot be big. That like our audience could find it funny, but other people can be like, whatever.
Yeah.
It is really funny.
No, I saw that coming because it's really funny and people like to get on Boone and it's so random. I knew, like, I was telling the office that day, I know when I'm holding the camera if I just got something that is going to go big. I remember we were at the Orioles game. It was me, Jake, Canobio, and Joe's, and Cole's playing peekaboo with the baby from the dugout, and I just so happened to have my phone out for that, and I got it, and I knew literally mid-recording that this was going to go crazy. Oh, you filmed
that? Fan didn't send that in? I didn't realize that.
So I filmed that. The baby's mom was like DMing me on Instagram the next day, like, thank you so much. Can you send me that video? And
oh, that's cool.
This and that. And then the other day, I'm at the Yankees game, and Volpe hits the foul home run.
Yeah.
And I'm in the other side of the bleachers, the right field bleachers, and from our angle...
Oh, you? That was your video again?
That was
again,
my video.
Beer shower?
I'm getting showered with beer. I'm like, are you guys... What's wrong with you all? Like, wait a second.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting showered with beer and I'm recording on my phone. I'm like, this is going to go crazy because it's not a home run at all and people love to get on Yankees fans. So I said when we had the Boone clip, I lumped it in with those that as soon as I saw it, I knew that that was going to go crazy because it was hilariously stupid.
Having podcast clips go outside of the podcast audience or even the fan base is hard.
Yeah.
Like when we did the Joe's Dolphin thing, people watched that didn't even know what show it was.
Yeah.
It's like, remember when Bert Kreischer, the Kool-Aid clip with him and Tom Segura, have you guys seen that? When he finds out he drinks, oh, you haven't seen that? It's really funny. But it went bigger than anything. Like, it went so viral that you didn't even know who they were and you saw it. We haven't had too many of those. But the Boone one kind of went outside our audience. Joe's Dolphin one went outside our audience.
Joe's being on the live stream in the background looking at Meg Thee Stallion.
That went outside our audience. That went big, yeah. And then so the most recent one you texted me, you said, I think these are going to be big, was the knuckleball ones. Are you right or are you wrong? Are those doing well?
They're doing good. They're not doing good, amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that might be. Maybe it's because the production quality is lower than our other stuff.
Yeah, it's just...
I think that warehouse audience is now getting used to like incredible production quality, that anytime something's below incredible, it doesn't do that well. Plus, I guess there's no like controversy / it's not a real pitcher. So maybe that's the reasons it's not going crazy, but they're doing well. It's the videos where the pitching machine throws a knuckleball it's you versus the hitter. It's like if you catch it, you win.
Everyone's too fixated. It's when you post it on the glove.
Yeah, on why you're catching it.
It's funny, like when you post something and in your head you know the reasoning, and then you're like, oh, I didn't realize that was going to be every fucking comment.
Yeah.
It's a little kid's glove that you and a bouncy ball. So like you can't squeeze it and it bounces right out. So it's not like an actual glove. It's more just a trapper thing.
Yeah.
But whatever. I was like.
And then there was the one where you're versus Drew Davis and you catch it, but it barely stays in your glove.
Yeah.
And that pretty much proves why that won't work.
Yeah. What? I just didn't realize. I was like, oh, I didn't know that was going to be the only comment.
I didn't see that coming.
No. Yeah. That's always a bummer, right?
Because
usually, and that's what I would talk to you about a lot is, and I talk to the warehouse editors back in the day a ton about this, is like, try to think what the comments are going to say. Is there thing that they're going to say over and over and over again? Okay, well, let's tackle that thing so they can say multiple things about multiple, like, unless the one thing is fine.
Oh, you know? The but if entire thing when you're brainstorming a post is...
What will
the audience say? So Maddie will send me a video. The other day he sends me a video and it's edited. It was Dalton filming Max and Jolly guessing all the teams Rich Hill played for.
Yeah.
And they didn't finish the quiz. So there's
I saw that. I knew that was going to happen too.
There's a team. Well, that's happened with other ones. But this Rich Hill one hasn't gone out yet because I said we're going to get the same comments we got on the other ones. It's like they didn't finish. And we didn't ask the audience to help us finish. So it just looks like it ends. And it's like there was never an ending to this.
Yeah, incomplete.
So.
But you're good at that. I'm good at that. A handful of times I've been like totally blindsided by the most popular comment. Like everyone is saying this and I didn't see it coming. But when you work with people that are new to posting with our audience, you have to, like, I remember a lot of times there's like Prizeman who edits Warehouse Games. I'd be like, guys, all they're going to say is this. I don't think so. And then they'd be like, you're right. That's all they care about. And I'm like, I was like, I know. We know the audience. You and I have been in front of it. Like, you get all the responses. So you kind of like understand our main audience.
Blessing and a curse for sure.
Yeah. It's a blessing. I mean, it's hard when you post something and you're like, 10 people are going to shit on this and I hope they don't sway the rest of the people.
Because you always say we live in a tell me how to feel world.
I just said that to Sanagato when we talked to him.
Yeah. Because
he said he would, if there was the first 5 comments on a video came before the length of the video, like say a 10-minute video and the first 5 comments came in 2 minutes and they were negative, he'd delete them. Because like, that's not fair.
Yep.
You're just telling other people how to feel, but you didn't even watch it. And I'm like, I totally agree with that. If you watch it and you don't like it and you comment on it, that's fine. But it does harm you to have the first couple comments. And that's why I recently messaged you guys about Instagram. And
oh,
I was
yeah.
like, hey, don't give these sexist assholes like our spotlight. And let them be in the first 5 responses. We don't really delete comments that much or monitor it because you can't. But that's where I'm like, no.
It's tough.
I'm not putting you on my stage, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's definitely a lot of that. And there's plenty of times where I'll post even a 60-second clip of you guys talking about the Red Sox are a big one right now. Their fan base is very confusing because they beat the Yankees, but they're in last place. So they think they're doing well because they beat the Yankees, but you're also in last place at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they stay hot
when
this comes out. So anyway, so I'll post a clip. It'll be 60 seconds long. It'll be like, can the Red Sox keep up this success? We will get 5 comments within 60 seconds. So it's clearly you didn't even watch to see what we said. We might have said yes.
Yeah.
And they think because we are Yankees fans and the Yankees just lost to the Red Sox, even though we also think the Yankees are terrible, that we have some sort of bias. And it's.
Yeah, I was also talking with Frankie about that, world. Like how we live in a world where people want to, because we're in sports, people want to like attack instead of just enjoy.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a weird place to be.
We're Joe Buck now. We hate every team.
I've been that for 3 years.
Oh,
yeah. I don't like give a fuck about any. That's the thing. It's people see my indifference as hating. Like, I don't give a fuck about you.
There
team.
Will be times where I'm watching.
And I don't think any team is good.
Yeah.
Besides 2.
Yeah.
Every year.
There will be.
So that's just a viewpoint that people don't want to hear.
Dude.
Especially like, when Trev and Jake.
Angels
think
fans.
Every team is good.
Like, you guys hate us. It's like, no, we have nothing good to say about you because you haven't made the playoffs since 2015. And you have 2 of the greatest baseball players of all time on your roster.
Yeah. Angels fans are weird because I treat them like how I treat the Yankees. I want you to be good.
Yes.
But you're not.
We literally,
but they're
you know
like,
how much that would do for my
But I don't understand it because they're always like, we're good. And I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
But why aren't you upset? Like, I think I have the same view. If the Angels were in New York and had our fan base, I'd have the majority fan view.
Yeah.
So it's a different fan.
Exactly where, and obviously.
But they are playing well as we record this now and doing better. But like in the past, I'm like, I just want you guys in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I want you to do well.
That would do for us.
Yeah.
Like if Ohtani and Trout were on the biggest stage, you know how much engagement that would get us?
Yeah. I mean, so they're always just, my answer of what team do you want to see in the World Series.
And that's where I am with the Red Sox too. It's like, I can't necessarily say I want the Red Sox to do well as a Yankees fan, but at the same time, it's like, you guys are happy right now? What? Because you beat the Yankees, you're in last place. I would be furious.
Yeah.
I'd be so upset.
Yeah, it's very odd.
It's so weird. So I don't... You try to gauge every fan base voice as best you can, but the thing is, at the end of the day, you're not going to please anyone. So,
have you done the social clips for Ball and Play League yet? Have you run into any good moments?
I am actually just getting ready to dive into my first Ball and Play League game.
Do you have game one or do you have game two?
I have game two.
Oh. Because game one provides a moment that should be a million view on TikTok, which I think is really great.
Is that when you get hurt?
No, it's a nut. It's a nut shot.
Okay.
Not me.
Because I know you go blind or something.
Yeah, but that happens off camera.
Okay.
I'm just not there for a couple games because I'm blind.
Okay. So.
But there's a nut / dick shot in game one. I hope Kev has it ready.
Oh, he'll be all over it. Because
like that, those go, you know.
Kevin won't miss that. Yeah. No way. But I know that game two, at least from just like going through it quickly, comes down to like a close finish at least.
Oh, it does? So, I forget all of
them. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually forget it all too, which is good for clips because you want to be in the same seat as fans to be able to gauge like your excitement at that moment.
And strip away context and make sure you give context.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Anything else?
Did I not ask
anything you wanted me to ask? Yes, Maddie?
I need Kyle to tell this story because this is a story I tell like every like 9 months or so, 6 months, 9 months. My first day of work, Kyle drove me. Because we lived near the same place. And do you remember what happened on the way home before we got on the highway? We stopped at McDonald's.
Okay, so I remember a different Maddie story that I guess I should tell now, but I don't remember that because
okay, so let me tell
when
that,
I used to drive to and from the Bronx.
I'll tell this and then you whatever you want to tell. I don't know what you're telling. But we stop at the McDonald's in the Bronx, like by the stadium / office. Not that one that's like right next to the stadium, but we stop there, go through the drive-thru. Oh. First of all, Kyle asks if I want anything, and I said no. And then he hit me with a, what are you healthy? I thought that was funny. But we go through the drive-thru. Kyle gets like two burgers. We get on the highway and we start. And then he unwraps the burgers. And the buns, it's two buns and ketchup. That's it. There's no meat. And Kyle eats it anyway. Both of them.
They didn't give you that.
They gave me that.
You didn't order that.
No. Who would order that?
Vegan people or something?
What the heck?
Nobody would ever order that.
Okay, yeah. So I thought you were going to tell like more of a work-related
thing. I have a cousin who orders cheeseburgers with no meat from McDonald's.
Used to insane.
When she was a teenager.
No, he did not order that. He ordered like burger, lettuce, cheese, like pickles, probably the whole shit.
Why would you order that? Just get something else.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I thought Maddie, and I'll try to tell these quickly. I thought Maddie was going to say that we were on our way home and like a trade happened because I used to drive to and from the Bronx office because the train and subway takes even longer than driving, which the drive is still like an hour and a half plus, and then you have to park wherever and walk. And one of the most memorable ones for me was Anthony Rizzo trade to the Yankees because that came out of nowhere. And I had just left 20 minutes from the office. I just pulled over in a rest stop and probably sat there for like an hour and a half posting any Rizzo stuff I could think of to talking Yanks and talking baseball and whatever. And that would happen a lot. I mean, I'd pull over on the shoulder of the highway, the turnpike, and there was a couple times where cops would pull over behind me and come up to my window and ask what I was doing. And I'd be like, I had to use my phone. And sometimes I'd have my full laptop out on my lap on the turnpike on the side of the highway. And yeah, that's just the nature of the beast. And then the other Maddie story is that just during the tail end of COVID, when stuff was getting back to normal, it's probably like January 2021.
It was, yeah.
Maddie had been kind of messaging me a lot, like, hey man, I'm really interested in working for you guys. And I knew who Maddie was because he was editing stuff for Phil Hughes. And this is when we were hiring that second group of people.
Yeah.
The second round of like knees.
Yeah. Just to kind of come Scirocco, in. Prizman, Maddie.
Dan Rourke.
Rourke.
Yeah. So Rourke, I'd been begging to work for us for a while. So as soon as he was in, he was in. Maddie, I was like, I don't really know who this guy is. He doesn't even have like his pictures, like his profile on Twitter. It was just like,
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
I think,
no, it was like that Maddie Mass GFX like graphic.
I think I changed it because you probably told me to.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's so, what I knew. That's how I knew your name.
The app?
Yeah. So,
the Maddie GFX thing.
So times were still weird and I don't know how else to explain it besides times are still weird and Maddie lived near me. So I was like, why don't you just come on over? And we'll work on some stuff together. I'll
get to know you. Basically like a live interview.
Yes.
Just at Kyle's
But it was
house.
The most casual interview of all time.
Not an interview, really.
Because still at that time, there was like nowhere for me and my friends to go hang out. And it was like NFL Sunday and stuff like that. So I had like 8 of my friends over. And they were all just hanging out, like watching football. And Maddie strolls in. And he's like, I can only imagine what was going through his head. He's like, I didn't know I was coming over for like an NFL Sunday hangout.
And I did not.
Yeah.
I thought it was just going to be the two of us.
So I have like my desk set up and me and Maddie just basically set up and just start going to work on like some Gary Sanchez winter Dominican League highlights.
Toros.
Yeah. Because that was also big content at the time because it was sports were just back. Anything that was on TV was going to do well. So Maddie comes over. My friends are all just hanging out watching NFL Sunday or whatever it might have been. And me and Maddie are just plugging away at my desk and going in on Gary Sanchez highlights. And I was like, okay, yeah, this dude's legit. That's why I went to Jimmy and Jake. It was like, we got to get the Phil Hughes guy here.
Yeah, if we do have you on again, because I think we're going to wrap this up so I can go and play. Well, I want to talk about how you're kind of front lines for like recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like for Dan Rourke, we knew Dan on Twitter and it was kind of a wild card and young and all that. And we're like, oh, does he want to do this? Does he want to do his own stuff? And Kyle, you talked with him or you had always talked to him and you said to Jake and I can turn him into a mini version of me. And 5 minutes later we called Dan and he was working at Verizon.
Yeah.
And he like went outside into the hall and I was like, hey, Kyle just vouched for you pretty hard. So you want to start? And he was like, fuck yeah. I'll start right now. I can come. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I can handle it right. All that. But yeah, then like we got ice.
We got ice. One's kind of crazy.
Yeah. We'll save it. We'll tease it. Have you back later on. And then, cause you,
Kyle's basically me. Yeah. I mean, I had applied the year before when Kyle applied and got it. And so I was like, Kyle wasn't the reason that I applied or anything, but he pushed me. And after getting the offer, Kyle was really what brought it over the finish line. Cause it was obviously like going from a
I didn't think you
salary
were
job to like not. And Kyle
had an
was,
industry that you were like,
yeah. I mean, I was set up for
set
like,
up. Like
yeah.
That was your career in life, right?
Yeah. So I was telling Maddie basically the same thing. I was telling him that I was just in his shoes. Like I had a full-time job. I left hourly, all that. And I gave that same spiel to most people, Taylor Jackson, but she obviously came on full-time.
Yeah, Maddie was a surprising one. I didn't think you were going to say yes.
Yeah, when I responded, I thought about it for a long time, and I always wanted to do it. It was just at that point, the switch of what I was doing and like salary wise was so different.
Yeah.
But then I just like Kyle convinced me basically. And then I processed it as like, let me do this for 1 year. And if it goes to shit after 1 year, I'm still going to be like, fine.
Yeah.
So then that's kind of like what put me over the edge.
That's what I said about when I got the opportunity too.
Yeah.
Like, well, 1 year I build up a part-time, sharpen my skills to do this like part-time and go back to my job if I need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right, well, we'll do into part 2 of this.
Yeah, well, we have to do a part 2.
Yeah, leave questions if we have you back on for running socials or early stories or whatever. I guess Kyle and Maddie.
Yeah.
Commenters.
Down. Thanks for having me on. I don't usually do podcasts like this, so before I sign off, I just want to say, like, I know the people who watch this are diehards and also people who are, like, interested in the behind the scenes, and I just appreciate the absolute hell out of those people because they are my escape from getting yelled at by baseball fans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is the
very,
people who take, when I go to like the John Boy Jake TV comments and stuff, it's like a refreshing area to be in, because they just love us for us and not because we're talking about their favorite MLB team. So our community and people who are going to see this, love you guys. So you guys are awesome.
Ditto.
Ditto.
Ball and Play 2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.